nations and how they come together and all the struggles they seem to go through, and they miss the blessings of grace. They miss it somehow. It's a word. And so I want to talk to you today about that. I was thinking about our nation. You saw the inauguration. Some of you may have seen the inauguration, and you saw the Saturday, the day of prayer, and all the prayers that were offered, many, many of them in the name of Jesus the Christ. Then you also saw, while that's going on, you saw a lot of women protesting all over the country, literally all over the country. And when I saw that, my heart was grieved. It wasn't angered or anything. I was saddened that I was listening to words come out of women's mouth that were less than appropriate. They were less than honorable to themselves. They were boasting, and I kept thinking of what Paul said through the Holy Spirit said through Paul in Galatians 5:13. My brothers and sisters, you were called to freedom, absolute freedom. But don't turn your freedom into a time to indulge your sinful nature. I saw signs at the news that were with children there that were very, very foul, that I wouldn't even use that word. I don't even want to suggest the word to you here. I saw a woman, you know, Madonna. She said, I want to blow the White House up. Now, if any of us said that, we'd be called into jail. You know that. And I looked and I said, the sadness of our nation and the brokenness of our time. And then we think of, what are these blessings? You know, we're living in a time, and I loved what we sang, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I loved it that we sing that. You know, that's out of Nehemiah 8:10. And it was in a time when the nation of Israel was in a real bind. It had been strapped down, broken, and all of that. Nehemiah got sent over there, and they were building a wall, and everyone had fear. Nothing seemed to really be right. They were listening to a Nehemiah in the midst of what felt like a storm. They were fearful for their families. They were fearful of what is happening, and the people around them did not want Israel reestablished. They did not want that to happen. And in the midst of that, he tells them to eat a meal and remember this, rejoice in this. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There's no one like the Lord. There's no one like the Lord. So what we're going to look today, and what is the blessings of grace? We're probably living in some of the most greatest educational times in history. Most of you probably got a phone here today. You can ask a question to your phone, and it will give it to you. It's an amazing time. We're so educated. We have more information than we've ever had in any time in history. We seem to be able to articulate things quite well. You listen to everyone. Hopefully they can be a little more. Sometimes I wonder what's happened in grace. I think of what grace is. Grace is much more than manners, much more than proper etiquette, but it sure is nevertheless. I mean, it surely is something wonderful that God has given to us. For most of us, we work very difficult. We work hard. We do work hard in our marriages. And I was thinking this year, my wife and I have been married 47 years. And I'm thinking, now, that's the first time I ever felt like it's sounding like a long time. And I looked back at it, and I'm thinking, look at the things we've gone through, we've had to work through. We've felt the power of the blessings of grace. And so much. How do you do this? So what is this, Lord? What are we supposed to do? Yet with all of our accomplishments, all of our church growth, all of the buildings we build, all of the things we're trying to do, there seems to be our homes are stressed. Marriages are stressed. If you saw anything this weekend, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you saw stress. You also saw joy, but you saw a lot of stress this weekend. And Lord, we need your grace again. We need it poured out upon our nation, and we need men and women of God to know what does it mean to experience the presence of grace, the blessings of grace. What is this? I mean, we sing about amazing. It's so common, and yet we don't seem to quite know what it is. You know, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all Scripture is God-breathed. All right? It's God-breathed. Now, there's an important point of this. It's all God-breathed. What does that mean? And what is it for, anyway? If it's God's breath, if all Scripture is God's breath, what in the world is the point of Scripture? Why do we have it? What is supposed to happen when I get into it? Where am I going? Am I supposed to attend church and some develop some religious standards by which I feel better about myself so that I can sometimes agree with people that I disagree with? No. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching. It's profitable for rebuking. It's profitable for correcting, and it's profitable for training in righteousness. What's it for? God wants me to be righteous, the very character of all that He is. We look at, back at this. Now, in fact, I was thinking, we had that beautiful service yesterday for Janice. And I remember that first time I met her in the hallway over there. And she was struggling about coming to a Baptist church. You remember that, Mike? We met her in the hallway over there. She says, "I have a question. I think it was the Eastern Stars or something. I think that's a masonry for the women or something." And she says, "No, I'm in that. And as I go to that, am I allowed to be that and come to a Baptist church?" And I said, "Well, as an Eastern Star, can you be saved? Do you know Jesus Christ?" She said, "Well, yes, of course." I said, "Well, then you're allowed to come to a Baptist church." And as we had it, we were reading, this wonderful lady, girl got up and she read the 23rd Psalm. And I want to read this part to you. "We declare that the Lord is our shepherd, do we not? We say we believe that. This is part of a blessing of grace. I shall not be in want because I know who's with my shepherd. I know who's guiding me. I know the leader of my soul. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." In other words, in the midst of storms, He still comforts me with His. That's what it means. The joy of the Lord is my strength, the green pastures. "He leads me by quiet waters. He restores my soul. He restores my soul." And here it is. "He guides me in the paths of righteousness." Who? I mean, clear back then. "He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake." I think of what the Holy Spirit said to the Apostle Paul, that God, who Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, God made Him sin. Made Him sin so that we would become the righteousness of God. Think of that. What is all of this? Paul would say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It is the power of God for salvation." Well, what in the world is this salvation? What does it mean to be saved? Does it mean to go to heaven, go to church? What in the world is it? We know it's a blessing of grace. We're going to look at that in a moment so you can really see it. But what does it mean? "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for in the gospel there's the power of God for salvation. For in the gospel is a righteousness that is revealed." A righteousness that is revealed. "And it is a righteousness from first to last by faith." Wow. Our pastor is going to be taking us through the Beatitudes, the blessings, in Matthew 5. The blessings. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." See, what's happening in our society and churches of America, we're not after righteousness. We're after modified behavior. We want modified behavior. You know, you have a problem. You read this book. You need some therapy. You know, it's not working for you. You need some modification. No, you need the blessings of grace. You need righteousness. If you don't know what it is, then how do you know that you have it? And if you don't have it, you will not see the Lord. That's why He also says, "Test yourself, examine yourself. Do you not know this? That Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test." What is the test? It is righteousness, the blessing of grace. When God awakens a man from the dead, a woman from the dead, by faith calls them up, said, "We were dead in our trespasses and sin." We'll get to that in a moment. And then what do? He says, "I have a gift for you. You have nothing to offer. You're a dead man. You have nothing to, a dead woman. You have nothing to offer. There is none righteous. No, not one." That's in the courtroom of God, Romans 3. It's also out of Isaiah. "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand, none that does good. No one seeks the Lord. Your throats are like an open grave. You practice deceit every time you open your mouth. The poison of vipers is on your lips." That's the courtroom of God. And in the midst of that, not only he does something, what does he do? He sends his son not to condemn the world, but to save the world. What do you mean save the world? To make them back into an image of righteousness. To be an imitator of God as dearly loved children. To be transformed in the renewing of your mind, that you may be, oh, to understand what it is to present this body as a holy sacrifice, which is a spiritual act. So what do we do in our marriages? When something goes sideways, instead of arguing, we bless. Think what happens there. There's righteousness being felt. I can feel it. The joy of the Lord. In this blessings of grace, when you receive the blessing of grace, in this beautiful gift, you open it. It's now yours. Righteousness, peace, and joy will be yours. It is always by faith. He says this righteousness that I gave you, this gift of righteousness, this gift of grace is by faith. Will you receive it? By faith you've been saved through grace, not of yourself. I mean, it's a beautiful picture. So will you receive it? If you own it, you can present yourself before the Lord and find in the most difficult situations the joy of the Lord. Faith is described as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he exists. So, do we say, does he exist? Amen? Pretend you're Baptist today. Amen? Yes. Yes! See, that's a good Baptist. That's the way the Baptist used to be. Amen! I remember being in Baptist churches and they'd go, preach it, brother! And I'm like, woo, man. You know, I'm telling you what, that's a thrill. Think of this. What is it? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God, any man or woman, boy or girl that comes to him, must believe that he exists, and he is the rewarder of those, here it is, that earnestly seek him. I'm not seeking something. I'm seeking what could possibly be greater than a man experiencing the presence of God, seeking him and nothing else. What kind of a man, husband would he be? What kind of a pastor would he be? What kind of a worker would he be? A man who desperately seeks God and only God. He's been transformed, not just in his mind, but his very emotions. What are his emotions? The joy of the Lord becomes my strength. I'm being transformed. I've learned to delight in the Lord. I've learned to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord. I want you to be joyful always. I want you to pray continually. I want you, let's have a conversation, Gus, you and I, in righteousness so that you can learn. This is the transformation of righteousness. You will be thankful in all circumstances. Wow. And then Paul says through the Holy Spirit speaking through him in Romans 14:23, everything that does not come from faith is sin. So many of our lifestyles and many of our marriages are we're functioning them in sin because we're not functioning them in righteousness and by the faith in the grace that God gave to me. Do you realize in righteousness you cannot even feel criticized? Do you know that in righteousness you can't start condemning people? It's an impossible situation. When they all of a sudden, what does it say? In Luke, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who hurt you. That's righteousness. You saw it in Christ. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become. It's given to you. Become righteous. Become righteous. Do not. You cannot become righteous when you're condemning yourself and others. When you're always looking bad at yourself. Christ took that at the cross. And the proof of that is the resurrection. It worked. So our text this morning. As for you, in Ephesians 2, 1, 2, 4, 5, and 8. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. I was thinking about Romans. I'm going through Romans with our band of brothers right now, and it's going to take me years, probably 5 or 6 years to get through Romans. So for you band of brothers, just get used to it, okay? I mean, we're camped in 4 right now, and I was thinking chapter 4, verse 5. God, what does God do? What does he do? Listen to these words. Here it is, in all scriptures God breathed. He justifies the wicked. Who's he justifying? The wicked. Not because they repented, not because they did any good thing, but because they received the blessing of grace by faith. He took a wicked man, he took a wicked woman, and he awakened them. Will you receive this gift? I have a gift for you. Oh, I want that. I do. Man, I don't just need a regroup. I need a complete change. I have a way of thinking that just doesn't prosper. It doesn't help me. I found myself, when I was a young man, I got angry very quickly. argued. I love arguing. Isn't that weird? I loved it. Of course, watch our politicians. Oh, gee, it's horrible. Listen to these things. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin in which you used to live. When you followed the ways of the world, when you and I followed the ways of the world, what did you see with all those marches? I felt so sad for those women. I thought they forgot they were ladies. No one taught them that they were a lady. They didn't have any joy. There were foul things coming from their mouth, talking how militant they were. And I thought, oh, Father, think of their children hearing a grandma say something like that. This is where you want your daughter to go? I remember growing up, my mom, I wasn't in a Christian home. And my mom taught me, she said, she always called me Gussie, honey. Okay? Yeah. She said that in front of a bunch of Marines one time, and I said, Mom, that was unnecessary. But it was such a habit to her. She said to me when I was a little boy, from the time I can remember, we weren't raised in Christianity, we didn't go to church, but she said, Gussie, honey, every girl will grow into a woman, and some of them will become ladies. Because they'll be treated like it. They were meant, and she told me, every woman was meant to be treated with honor and respect. So when you grow up, you will treat every woman you meet that way. It got integrated into my system when I was a kid. I look at this and I thought, I watched these millions of women, I listened to the news and I watched CBS a little bit this morning, and they were flaunting how good it was. And I was listening to the foulness. I thought, women, you were created for much greater than this. You were meant to be honored. You were meant to be lifted up. The man was meant to be a leader in the home, not the controller, not the intimidator, not the dictator. He was meant there to be the head of your house to give you honor like Christ does us. And they don't know this. They wanted to flaunt horrible things. What they called woman's health was literally what they mean is the aborting of a baby. And they called it, they want to dress it up. The perversion of sexuality that God created as a beautiful, beautiful act between a husband and a wife. Something so glorious to God. And the perversion comes in. And we want to flaunt it and say all is right. Oh, Father, as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. They don't even believe in this. The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And sometimes we have. We've been fighting in our marriages. We've been arguing. We've been throwing things, punching holes. I remember one time when I was growing with the Lord, my wife and I had an argument. I was so stinking ticked, I slammed my head on the wall and I punched a hole right through the wall. Thank God it wasn't a stud. I'd have knocked myself out. I left that hole in that wall forever just to remind me how stupid I was. I eventually had to patch it. Remember that? Remember I had to patch that thing? I won't tell them what you did. Okay, that's for you. Listen, we all have to grow. Righteousness is real. We've been called to be a righteous man, a righteous woman, and you've got to be able to know. Because faith is certain. Faith is absolutely sure. I know, I believe. What God has said is true. He declared. What did he do with Abraham? Abraham didn't have a Bible. He was a pagan. He had many, many gods. God comes to him and he tells him, this is what's going to happen. Doesn't tell him how it's going to happen. So yet, did he make everything right? Did he make stupid decisions along the way? Yes, but he never stopped believing God. And God says, because of your faith in what I said, I declare forever, Abraham, you are righteous. And that's what it means he did not waver. He did not waver. Who declared you righteous? Do you know that you're righteous? Do you know what it is? Listen to this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, what did he do? You were dead in your time. He made us alive. He made us alive with Christ. He made us alive with Christ. What is that? To become the righteousness of God. Even when we were dead in our transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. That's the importance of this. You've got to know that you believe God. When these emotions come up that are telling you the wrong thing, and I know they're real, but they're lying to you. I've told every man in my life, that's what lust is. Lust is a lie, but it's a real emotion. And don't think it isn't. It's real. And if you follow it, it'll take you to a place you never want to go, and then it'll strap you down, and you'll think you're chained to the ground. Anger, arguing, divorcing. All in the name of Jesus. These are real emotions, but they're wrong. Absolutely wrong. As a people, we seem to always be looking for the blueprint. Here, you got a problem on money? Here, read this book. Go to this class. Do this, do this, do this. In righteousness, the joy of the Lord is the blessing of grace. This is what God wants for you. He did. I promise you, I'm not hyping and jiving you. If you know Christ, if you have been received grace, He's given it to you. Will you let it happen? Will you become the righteousness of God? Present yourself to become the righteousness of God. So let's look at what grace does in a man or a woman who has received it. What in the world does grace do? What is it that actually would happen? What does it mean to be saved? Here it is. As the deer pants for waters, the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. What does it do? I'm panting for God. My soul thirsts for God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. There is no one like the Lord. There's no one like Him. I would ask, come to the Lord. Come and receive. Come and receive righteousness. Come and receive the gift of grace and open it up and you will receive something that is so wonderful. One of the teachers of the law came and heard Jesus debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked Him of all the commandments, of all the do lists that we have, which is the most important one? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And now, love your neighbor as yourself. There are no greater commandments than that. There's no greater do list. Well, you can't do that if you don't experience righteousness. It's not going to happen. You can't do it. There's no way. It's not going to happen. You can work yourself into a tizzy. You don't need a repair job. You need a brand new creation. You need to be able to experience righteousness. You need to be able to experience the fullness of this joy. And so then he goes on. He said, well said, teacher. Isn't that cool? I mean, he doesn't even know who he's talking to. The man's talking to Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, creator of heaven and earth. And he says to him, you know, you're good. I mean, don't you find some humor in this? I mean, who are you saying he's good? You know, Jesus, you're not bad. That was a good answer. And he says, here's what he says to him. To love the Lord with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices put together. When Jesus saw him, heard him answer so wisely, he said to him, you, my friend, are not far from the kingdom of God. Tozer talked about God as a person. He feels and he thinks and he's revealed himself in a personality. He wants us to know that he understands this. When Christ came, he had a personality. He had feelings. He had emotions. He knows what it is. He knows what it was like to be in a dark place. He knows what it is to give honor to the Lord. He knows what it is to be in such a bad place you wish you weren't. When he was in the garden and he said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Take this cup from me. I can feel the darkness coming. I have an emotion that I don't like. This is happening. It's starting to happen. But nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. By the time he gets to the cross, you know when it happened. You know when Paul said, Christ, who knew no sin, God made him to become sin so that you and I would become something. What do you want me to become? Gus, I have a plan for you. I want you to become my righteousness on earth. Wow! And it's all there, given in grace. And you know when it happened, when Christ is on the cross and he calls out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it was finished. He let the light. He let the darkness come, and he yielded. See, it appears that in and through Jesus Christ, we can nurture a relationship with the Father, God the Father, that becomes more refreshing, exciting, and loving along our journey. We find here that all the important commandments, the do list, the blueprint, are all relational. They're all relational. We were meant to be relational beings. Do you know that in righteousness, we actually do love each other? Do you know that in righteousness, if we live in righteousness, we don't even desire condemnation to anybody ever? When you see someone out of line, you want to help them. You want to restore them. You want to fan their flame, even if it's your wife. even if it's your husband. Or if you have grown children that are less than stellar. You want to. There's a desire in you. You want them to be set free, even your grandchildren. So we find that they're... So what is this kingdom of God? He said, the kingdom of God is really clear. We know that in the kingdom of God, in Romans 14, 17, 18, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. But what is it then? What is this kingdom of God? We got to go back to it. This is the blessing of grace. This is the blessings. It's given to you. By the way, you don't have to earn it. Open it. Let it happen. But you have to present yourself to God. I want this. Father, I want you so desperately. I want to be the man that is panting like the deer pants for water. I present myself to you. That's what I want. I don't want to try to figure out the problems anymore. I want righteousness to live in me. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Number one, righteousness. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in this way. Which way? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Why righteousness? Because righteousness always loves the neighbor. Remember in Kansas? We were in Kansas for a year. Shawnee, Kansas. And our neighbors were two lesbians next door. I have to tell you, it was such a joy to meet those ladies. Now, they had less than stellar. They had chosen a lifestyle that wasn't really the best. But let me tell you what. They fell in love with us, didn't they? We prayed over them. They allowed me to pray over them. They asked me to bless them. They came over to our house again and again and again. When we moved to Tucson a year later, we lived there for a year, and then we bought a house. And who moves in directly across the street? Two homosexual men. I was thinking the Lord had a really sense of humor. And I looked and I said, is that any different than a man lusting after a woman who's committed adultery in his heart? Is that any different than a woman comparing herself to somebody else and then condemning the one she compared? She either condemns herself that she's not as good looking or whatever, or she condemns the other. Is that any different? See, righteousness, there's nothing like it. Concerning that, concerning the kingdom of God, righteous peace and joy, it's a beautiful place. In Luke 13, 20 and 21, Jesus asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? What can I say about this righteous peace and joy? It's like a woman who took a large amount of yeast put it in a large amount of flour and worked it through the dough. What is righteousness? It's got to come into you. It's been given to you as a gift. Now you have to say, do you want it? Do you know that in righteousness, you can stop your arguing? Do you know that you can stop this feeling of condemnation? You know that God has declared you righteous because of Christ? Will you own it? Will you know for sure that it's yours? Do you want it? Or are you trying to fix yourself all the time? You're just fine just fixing yourself. You want a repair job. Well, it won't work. That's why the Scripture tells us to test ourselves. So I think of the woman mixing that yeast into the dough, and what happens? Okay, let's just say today, as Baptists, let's say today that God's Word is true. Can we do that? Yeah. Amen? Let's say it's true. Okay? Righteousness, peace, and joy. He says, I'm going to tell you, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And where's the kingdom? I'm going to compare it to you, Gus. This is where it is. Think of this. Think of a woman having yeast and a large amount of dough. She puts that yeast in there and she starts working it through the dough. She works it through that dough. She beats on that thing. She rolls it. She does it, all this stuff. She's doing all this. She's. All right, that's the kingdom, Gus. Think of this kingdom like the yeast. By the way, Gus, you're like the dead dough. You're just dead. That dough is dead. It's just dead until I put the yeast in it. And all of a sudden, I've got my kingdom, and I'm whooping it into you. And what am I doing? I'm whooping in righteousness. I'm putting in my peace. The sympathetic vibrations of me, I'm putting my joy will be your strength now and forevermore. And when it works into you, Gus, it won't be just your mind transformed. Every emotion you've ever had will be changed. And you will see people in a different light. Some of the most weirdest people on the planet I'm going to introduce to you because I love them. And you will too. He's introduced to me some of the most obnoxious people on the planet, I think, in my life. And on the human scale of life, they were beyond obnoxious. And I couldn't help but love them. I watched most of them come to know the free gift of grace. When he says, once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come. This righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit does not come by your careful observation. Well, how does it come? Don't believe it when somebody says it's over there or here it is. He says, why? Because the kingdom of God is within you. I'm putting my kingdom within you. Gus, do you want it? Do you want me? I want nothing but you, Lord. You have your way. Listen to the words that are meant to describe the life of the blessings of grace. I'm convinced of something. I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Think of this. This is the invitation of grace. This is the blessings of grace. This is what grace does. This is what it is. It can't help itself. It's not a word. It's a life. It's the experiencing eternal life the way God is, the way He is. And all of a sudden, it's just like the dead dough. It's like the yeast has been putting in. So He allows you to have opportunities so you can experience righteousness, peace, and joy. This is the beauty. This is the working it in. I mean, you think about that dough. If a woman was putting yeast into dough and the dough could speak, I wonder what it would say. It might be saying, what are you doing to me? I'm in fine condition. No, there's going to be a transformation in you. You're dead. You don't know you're dead, but you need a complete transformation. And once I work this through you, you will be transformed and you will never be the same. You will be so radically different, people will think you have been born again. Habakkuk, the blessing of grace. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes in the vines, the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, there's no sheep in this pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. So what's the application? Let me give you the application of grace. And it's one of my favorites. These last 10 years, my wife and I, as we read through the Word of God, we've been reading a lot in the New Living Translation. This is the awakening of faith. And say, does this describe you? Would someone in your home say this is you? This is now you. Okay. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. Any of you ever been that way? I'm that way. I was that way. Foolish and disobedient. Listen to the rest. We were misled. We became slaves. Whoa, bummer. We became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed His kindness and His love, He saved us. Now listen to this. Not because of righteous things we had done. Not because of righteous things, because we don't know what it is. We can't live it, because righteousness is what He is. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. So what did He do? The blessing of grace. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Amen? You want a new life? Do you want to be awakened? Would you like to be awakened in a nanosecond to the joy of the Lord as your strength? It's true. This isn't hype and jive. Some of you have said to me, I've had so many Christians say, well, that's not my personality. Got that for true. That's the dead dough personality. The joy of the Lord is your strength is the blessings of grace. It's not about your personality. Now, it's not about your old sin nature anymore. The blessings of grace. Listen to this. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life. A new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us. What is the Spirit? You think the joy... Do you think the Holy Spirit says, it's just not in my personality to be joyful all the time? Do you think the Holy Spirit, He poured out it upon me, the Holy Spirit says, it's just not in my personality to delight in the Lord over everything? Are you kidding? This is the beauty of grace. Do you want the blessing of grace? You have to ask yourself, do you want it? I mean, you can come and present yourself before the Lord and say, Father, listen, of all the people on the planet, I'm the man, I'm the woman, I want to be after you. I want to know your joy. I want to know your righteousness. I want to experience it. Show me the way. I'm here to present myself. He generously poured out His Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. And because of His grace, He declared us righteous. Are you righteous? Are you righteous? Amen? Do you know that you're righteous? Do you feel righteous? Or do you feel like you have cooties? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Our band's going to come up and lead us in a song, and what I wanted to do today, I wanted to invite you. See, for me, there's no condemnation, so I never have a problem.